First lesson this fourth Sunday in Advent is from the seventh chapter of Isaiah. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, saying, "Ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be deep as shallow and as high as heaven." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test." But Isaiah said, "Hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you, two weary mortals, that you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the young woman is with child and shall bear a son, and shall name him Emmanuel. He shall eat curds and honey by the time he knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the child knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land before whose two kings you are in dread will be deserted." The psalm this morning is Psalm 80, and we will read this together.
Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock, you who are enthroned upon the cherub, shine forth before Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh. Stir up your might and come to save us. Restore us, O God. Let your face shine that we may be saved. O Lord God of hosts, how long will you be angry with your people's prayers? You have fed them with bread of tears and given them tears to drink in full measure. You make us the scorn of our neighbors. Our enemies laugh among themselves. Restore us, O God of hosts. Let your face shine, that we may be saved. Let your hand be upon the one who right hand, the one whom you made strong for yourself. Then we will never turn back from you. Give us life, and we may call you your name. Restore us, O Lord God of hosts. Let your face shine, that we may be saved.
The second lesson morning in Romans chapter 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. The gospel concerning his son, who was descended from David according to the flesh, and was declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the power of holiness, by resurrection from the dead. Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith among all the Gentiles for the sake of his name, including yourselves who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all God's beloved in Rome, who are called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Here is the reading. The Holy Gospel, according to Matthew, the first chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from his sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
I now invite any kids up front who want to join me for the children's message. Got one for sure. Thanks, Liam. Love your energy. How are you doing this morning?
Here comes Maggie.
Good morning, Jesse. Here comes Jack. We got one more, maybe?
Two more.
So before we get started, there's something we've been doing differently during Advent. What have we been doing differently?
No children's room.
Not decorating the tree. Close. Genesee said it. What was that? Yeah, we're lighting the Advent candles. Do any of you know how many we light this morning? I don't know. I haven't been paying attention. How many are we at?
Zero.
Two? That's a good guess. Anybody else?
Zero.
I think we light a few. Should we ask the congregation if they know? Congregation, do you know how many candles we're lighting?
Four.
We're lighting four this morning. So we have four people to help us, help me do this. Jack, do you want to help? Because have you gotten help yet, Jack? You haven't gotten it? You want to help too? Well, Liam, have you gotten to light a candle yet? You have? Okay, so let's make sure we get our other friends too. All right, Jack, so we got to light either one of the three blue ones or the pink ones. So we're going to leave the middle one. We're not going to light the white one this morning. Which one do you want to light? This guy? Have you gotten a light one yet, Maggie? Do you want to help me light one? Do you want to light one of the blue ones or the pink ones?
Jordan.
Do either of you guys want to help? Have you gotten the help yet? Do you want to light a candle?
Yeah.
All right. We got two blue ones left. Do you want to light the one in the back or the one up front?
The one up front.
You want to get the one up front? All right. Good job. Do you want to come help me light the last candle? You want to help me?
Easter is the white one.
Easter? That's a good guess. Easter is not the white one. It's already Christmas. Yeah. How many more days, Liam?
Three.
Yeah, it's getting close, isn't it? So this, it is coming up very soon. So talking about Christmas, in this morning's text, we read that they're waiting. And Advent is kind of about waiting, right? We're waiting for Jesus to be born. So what is something you've had to wait for? Liam, what's something you've been waiting for?
Easter.
Yeah, we waited for Easter. Has anyone else waited for something?
I have waited for Halloween.
Halloween, yeah. What about you?
I also waited for
Christmas. Yeah, do you wait for Christmas?
Yeah.
It can seem like a long time, yeah. Right?
No, it's not.
You're waiting for your own trip?
It's only three months.
Or like when you're at Disneyland, sometimes you have to wait, or like places like that, right? Those lines are long. So like, a new stylist. So maybe it sounds like the longest we've waited maybe is a few months. In this morning's text in Isaiah, do you know how long they wait for Jesus to be born? 300 is a good guess. You're close. They actually wait over 500 years. Can you imagine waiting 500 years for something? That's a really long time, right? 500 years is a long time. Do you think you'd be alive at the end of the 500 years? No, we're probably gone, right? Yeah, so this morning we read they're waiting for a long time. Yeah.
If they survived it.
Your parents are way back there. So this morning we're learning about Advent and waiting. And so
The people of God are waiting for Jesus to be born. They waited for 500 years. And how do you think they celebrated when Jesus was finally born? Do you think they were happy or sad? Yeah, they were pretty happy this way. Will you guys pray with me before we end? Okay, will you repeat after me? Dear God.
Dear God.
Thank you.
Thank you.
For sending.
For sending.
Jesus.
Jesus.
Into the world.
Into the world.
Amen. Thanks for coming up, guys. You can go back to your... That is... That's over for you. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
The gospel this morning is a text many of us are familiar with, and it can be easy to take it for granted because we've heard it so many times. When reading this week's text, especially the gospels, I wondered, is Jesus late? Is God late? When thinking about the story of Mary and Joseph having Jesus, it reminded me of my family's journey. No, my wife and I are not Mary and Joseph, and we definitely did not give birth to baby Jesus. But we began on a journey in February. Then we moved, and for 9 months, we anticipated the birth of our child, Molly. February feels like years ago. I can barely remember anything from that time. Molly was born a month ago. In my world, in my waiting for Molly, Jesus is late. Didn't he know her due date was a month ago? The past 9 months have felt like an advent for our family as we anticipated the birth of our child. We've had our baby Molly for almost 30 days. Jesus feels like he is taking his time and is late. Advent is a time of waiting and listening as we wait for Jesus' birth. But it makes me wonder how others felt. How did the wise men feel? The shepherds, they've been waiting for Jesus' birth. Where is he? Why is he so late? What did they think as they waited? Did they wonder if Jesus would ever be born? In Isaiah's reading from this morning, we read, "Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the young woman is with child, and shall bear a son, and shall name him Emmanuel." What is the longest we've ever had to wait for something? Maybe news from a doctor. Maybe for Christmas in our presents. Maybe we heard from a boss we need to meet. And had to wait in anticipation, wondering what that was about. Or maybe a friend saying, "I have something to tell you." In the book of Isaiah, it's written over 500 years ago. They had to wait over 500 years for this Messiah to be born. What is the longest we've waited for something? Surely it's shorter than this 500 years. It puts the 9 months of waiting in perspective. Is Jesus late? Think of how many generations and people have come and gone. How many things have changed during that 500 years of waiting? Do we even know our own families from 500 years ago? Think of our own country's history. It hasn't even been in existence for 500 years. By the time Jesus shows up, the Jews had been waiting centuries for this Messiah. In Psalm 80, we hear the people in verses 4 and 5. "O Lord, God of hosts, how long will your anger fume when your people pray? You have fed them with the bread of tears. You have given them bowls of tears to drink." For the author of this psalm, they are waiting on God to act. And it sounds like they've been waiting for a long time. What do we really wait for anymore? Maybe Amazon to deliver a package? Ugh, I gotta wait a day or two for something to be delivered to my house? Or maybe people responding back to our calls or emails or texts. "Can you believe it took her 5 minutes to respond to my text?" We don't wait very often. One of the pastor's jokes is to never pray for patience, because God will help you develop patience by having to wait for something. Have you ever had to wait on God to act in your life? Or are you still waiting for God to act in your life? In this morning's gospel, Mary is in a messy situation. She is engaged and not married. For her, it may have seemed like a long time before God intervened and told Joseph that she was faithful, but was with child from the Holy Spirit. When in messy situations, it can seem like forever for God to respond. I think about my own route to seminary. In the summer of 2018, I had attended the Houston Youth Gathering that the ELCA puts on. So you're with 30,000 youth and adults who are just fired up and excited for the Lord. I applied for seminary right when I got home. I was excited. This was a calling I've avoided, but I felt like I had for over half my life. I tried to get into Luther Seminary's fall term, but I had missed the deadline. I tried for the January term, but things again were too slow, and I missed another deadline. Here I am, God. I am finally responding to your call. Where are you at? In this mess, God showed up, and I heard about this new and different program called MDivX. I had to reapply to Luther for this program, and through the waiting and messiness, God brought my family and I here to where I am now preaching to you wonderful people. Just like Mary, God gave me strength. Mary is engaged to Joseph and excited for what life will bring her. She probably has a grand plan of what life will look like when God has other plans for her. Similarly, I had grand plans for what my life would look like, but God had other plans. So what does all this mean for us? If God or Jesus is late in our lives, what does it mean? Is God absent? Is God so high in the sky he cannot hear us? Is God too busy for us? Is his schedule so packed like ours that he can't make time to hear us? We want God to be on our timing schedule, but we do not always know what is best for us. God's timing is not our own timing, and God is God, and we are not. He is able to see things we are not. Waiting can feel like wasting time, and we usually associate waiting with being passive, but waiting can be an active process while we wait for God to continue to work in and through us. Even though God may seem to be late in our lives, he is with us. This Advent season, I invite you to join me in some advice I've received, and that is to slow down. In one of the commentaries for this week, it said, this prophetic sign act, the child to be born, is called God with us. This is God's way of saying, look, if you can't hear my message of reassurance, then maybe you can see it. This child is named God is with you. This is God's message in the reading this morning, and it is a reminder for you too to slow down, hear the message of reassurance, and see it with this child being born. Amen.